Give Gary Carpenter a big Birmingham welcome. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Well, I recognized Brad from his voice. Y'all don't know this yet, but I am the card-carrying member of this church now. I'm a member of the Tulsa branch. And he can tell you I'm already, if he doesn't get the messages uploaded pretty quick, I'm going, hey, we're hungry in Tulsa. Get those messages uploaded. I'm ready to hear, you know, I want to eat. And it's just, I believe that with all of my heart, the timing, everything about this, I believe I'm here not on a week. I believe I'm here on the week. I believe the timing is of the Lord, and there's been a lot of prayer about it. It's amazing. I don't know that I've ever spent as much time as we have. It's been pretty continual. And you can't help but sit with someone like that and find out he's listening to the same teacher I'm listening to. Yes. And I'm not here because you don't have a good teacher. I'm not even here to share anything probably he doesn't know. But sometimes you can hear the same truth said just a little different way, and maybe it'll click in a way that you didn't get it before. It's not necessarily new, but just, you know, the way it's spoken. Now, let me just tell you, Pastor Dave Roberson is my pastor. I don't know if you've ever heard of Pastor Dave or not. He's been around for 40 years in ministry. I've been going to his church now for 22 years, and I've almost made up my mind I'm going to make it my home church. Getting pretty close. You know, I don't do things quickly, but Pastor Dave's 71 now, by the way, and he's very active and healthy. Next week or 2 weeks, I believe, he goes to Brazil. He goes to Brazil about twice a year. And this year in November, he's going to Japan. How many of you know there's never been a revival in Japan? Not ever in history. How many of you know one's coming? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let me locate you, help you. We're family, right? Do y'all know why God and Abraham got along so well? Neither one of them wanted to start a religion. You read it for yourself. You don't find Abraham going, oh, God, I want to start a religion, God. Oh, God, help me start a religion. What did Abraham want? He wanted children born of his own body, didn't he? And Abraham says, I mean, God says, Abraham, you want children born of your own body? I'd like to have children on earth born of my own spirit. Amen. You and I should make a covenant. It'll produce the children you want, and eventually it's going to produce the children I want. God's all about family. And I think the highest compliment I can pay is what I felt when I walked in here. And I didn't feel an atmosphere of religion. I felt like I was coming for a family reunion. See? And that's where the Spirit of God is, Spirit of God's liberty. Now, right now we ought to lock the doors, close the windows, because we're going to go where religion never goes tonight. Okay? See, meetings like this are for aliens only. Truly, you are not of this world. The things we're going to be talking about tonight are not of this world either. God's trying to bring us into a mindset of kingdom business, the kingdom mindset. When I began hearing what Pastor Mark... Now, the further we go into this, the more the Holy Spirit takes my mind. If I forget your name, I'm sorry. I don't even remember mine at a certain point, okay? And I pointed at Sue and went, your name is... Because hopefully I'll be ministering out of my spirit, not out of my mind anyway. I am kind of out of my mind, but that's okay. But it's for aliens only. We're not of this world. And where he's trying to bring us truly is where we think with a different mindset than where we had before. Now, I would like, I think it's the mind of God. I want to read you a prophecy. How many knows who Smith Wigglesworth was? Yeah. Smith Wigglesworth died the same year I was born, and I don't think that's a coincidence. He's one of my true heroes. Never any scandal in his ministry. Still preaching and ministering up into his 80s. Never didn't get sick. Just went home to be with the Lord one day. That's it. It's time to go. I figure that's the way to go. No point going sick, just go. Amen. And so he's a hero of mine, and I want to read you a prophecy. Now, this happened in 1939. And have you ever heard of Lester Sumrall? Yeah. Well, Lester knew Smith, and let me just read this to you. It says, in 1939, World War II was about ready to break out. Lester Summerall was in his 20s. He was working in a Bible school in England, and he got to know Smith Wigglesworth. He read his books and heard about his ministry. He had been going over and visiting Smith Wigglesworth in his home for several years. And every other week, he would come visit him. Smith Wigglesworth would also have Brother Summerall speak at some of his conventions. One day, Lester Summerall went to tell Smith Wigglesworth that a police officer had come to his door and told him that everyone who was not an English citizen would have to leave the country. Hitler was threatening to come across the English Channel, so all foreigners had to leave. The young Summerall explained to the elder minister, "I came to say goodbye to you. I appreciate all that you have put in me." Now, here was a young minister in his 20s, and here's a man in his 80s who wanted to give his ministry to somebody. Smith Wigglesworth told the young minister, "I want to bless you." So he held him and said, "Lord, everything that I have, bless him with it. Give it to him." Smith Wigglesworth started weeping as he pulled Brother Summerall in closer. He was a big man, and as he held me close to him, his tears rolled off his face, and they would hit me in my face, Brother Summerall explained. Wigglesworth cried, saying, "I probably won't see you again now. My job is almost finished." But as he continued to pray, he cried, "I see it. I see it." Brother Summerall asked, "What do you see? What do you see?" He said, "I see a healing revival coming right after World War II. It will be so easy to get people healed. I see it. I see it. I won't be here for it, but you will be." And there was a healing revival right after the war. How many remember all of those healing? Jack Coe, William Branham, Oral Roberts, on and on it goes, right after World War II. So he says, he continued to prophesy. He said, "I see another one. I see people of all different denominations being filled with the Holy Ghost." That was the charismatic renewal. God raised up people during that era like the Full Gospel Businessmen. Then Brother Wigglesworth continued, "I see another move of God. I see auditoriums full of people coming with notebooks. There will be a wave of teaching on faith and healing." I know somebody in this room that was mightily used in that wave that's still in effect today. And we did experience that wave. We've called it the Word of Faith. Amen? By the way, Word of Faith saved my life. The doctors gave me 6 months to live with. I had melanoma cancer back in 1990. Can you tell I didn't die? Thank God for the Word of Faith. Yes. If I hadn't have known what to do, if I hadn't been for the teachings of Dad Hagen, now, Dad wouldn't know me from nothing, but to me, he's Dad. And if it hadn't been for his teachings and the others like Norville and Fred Price, and the devil would have took me off the planet 2 years before I ever met Dave Roberson. So thank God for the Word of Faith. But now let me finish. There's one more paragraph, and this is where we are. So then he prophesied. After that, after the third wave, he started sobbing. We are so honored to be alive in this time. We are so, I feel like I must be his favorite. I've got to be his pet. To be alive for what we're about to see. Listen to this. After that, after the third waves, Wigglesworth said, "I see the last day revival. That's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. It will be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. It is going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet. I see hospitals being emptied out, and they will bring the sick to the churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move." We are on the cusp of that. When we met And I began hearing what he was teaching. It was exactly the same things that the Holy Spirit was having me teach. And I have other friends around the country, and as I've contacted them, suddenly they think it's a good idea to teach on the gifts of the Spirit and the kingdom mindset and find out who we are. Listen, we're on the cusp of this thing. We are privileged and honored to be alive for this. And I praise God for it. We'll open up anywhere. It's all good. No. You put in a marker in Isaiah 55. We'll be there in a minute. Pat, I'm going to need one chair, if you don't mind, set right up here, right by that speaker, facing this way. Thank you. Let's get there in a minute, Isaiah 55. Go over, let's start in Luke chapter 1. And we'll just start at the beginning. How about the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary? Is that okay? I mean, that's pretty much the beginning of our dispensation for us. You know the story. I'm not going to read it all, but this angel appeared to her. Let's just pick it up in verse 31. It says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Now I read all that to get to verse 37. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, and I think one other place, he said, "The things that are impossible with men, they are possible with God." You got that? We watch Jesus through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we are amazed. Disease flees. Sickness is overcome. Devils tremble and come out. Storms are stopped. He'll interrupt a funeral. Right in the middle of a funeral, raise the lady's son from the dead. And we go, no wonder they said, "Never man spake like this man. Never man did things like this man," see. But Jesus, John 14, as he's just hours away from the cross, he says some of the most amazing things to us. He said, "The works that I do, shall you do also. And even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." See, we all know that verse is in there. I don't know anybody that really, I take that back. I do know some people that argue with Jesus about that verse. But I'm not at that church. So our attitude is, "Lord, we're not arguing with you. We agree with you. We can read." But it seems like the journey from the knowledge of knowing that verse exists and what you said, the journey from knowing that to walking in that seems to be longer than most of our lifetimes. We just don't ever quite make it, see? And we've been talking for 2.5 days or so. Part of the reason for that, we keep having this mindset, trying to achieve, trying to get somewhere. And it's just got to be one more little truth. It's got to be one more little something. Maybe I'm not praying quite enough. Maybe this, maybe that. But it's that mindset of, I've got to get there. And it's exactly backwards.
Yes.
The truth is, the kingdom is already in us.
Yes.
We are already his child. We are already anointed with the Holy Ghost. This doesn't come from achieving. It comes from bringing from the inside what He's already given us to the outside. And I think we're right on the cusp of that. Now, the reason I got my little phone out here, in the I love the King James. King James is my Bible now. I mean, I love the King James Bible. But now this particular verse, 37, there's a little bit in the Greek that didn't come across in the King James. And I brought my Amplified on this. Y'all didn't think I was high tech, did you? This old guy. Who's this old guy? I'm a youngin'. If you don't believe it, ask my 93-year-old mother. I'll get to complaining about something. Ow. You know, she says, oh, be quiet. I remember 67. 67 is great. Be quiet. My mother's favorite verse is, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And she'll get to laughing. And she knows I want a trip in ministering. She can't help it. She'll call me because she had to share that joke in the funny paper with me today. Hey, but it's working for 93. Hallelujah. Well, love you, Mama. Verse 37. Now, see, in the King James, it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. But let me read it to you from the original Greek. This is what it says in the Amplified. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And, this is what's missing. And no word from God shall be without power. Or impossible of fulfillment. We have a word from the lips of Jesus, the Word Himself, that says, the works that I do, shall you do also. Say it with me. The works that He did. Say it with me. The works that He did. I do also. Not shall do. I do. No word from God. Is without power. Or impossible of fulfillment. Now in the natural, that's real easy to illustrate. Because the word is compared to a seed all the time, is it not?
Yes.
The sower sows the word. He compared it to a seed all the time. I'm from Oklahoma. We grow corn there. We grow a lot of corn there. I have never yet seen a kernel of corn that did not have programmed within it the image of a full stalk of corn. It doesn't have the image of just one kernel. It's if you plant that little thing, you know, it's kind of pale yellow, about a quarter inch square. You put it in the ground. If you've never seen it grow, corn grow before, you put it in the ground, cover it up, water it. Now, it was yellow, wasn't it? What starts coming up out of the ground? Something green. You're going, what's wrong with that seed? I've seen churches like that. No, I'm sorry. I didn't say that out loud. I know I didn't say that out loud. You think something's wrong with it. You know, it's green. And of course, a lot of people trying to live by faith. You know, it's not what they expect right off. And they dig up their seed all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
But you got to leave it in the ground. Yeah. See, because the amazing thing, God is such a multiplier.
Yeah.
You don't plant one seed and get one seed. You plant that seed and you get the whole image. In Oklahoma, those corn stalks get taller. I'm not very tall. Get taller than that guy right there, and he's pretty tall. He's pretty tall. I mean, you know, they really get on up there. And it's not one seed. It's several ears. And you shuck those ears, and I mean inside each one, it's just dozens and dozens and dozens of seeds. And each one of those seeds has power inside of each seed to produce that again. God is a multiplier. See? Now, who is the seed? I will bruise your head with the seed of the woman. Who is that seed? I have a verse in my Bible that says, Christ in me. My hope, my image of glory is in you too. There is a seed on the inside of every believer that is capable of producing everything that Jesus produced. Now religion runs you out of town right there. That's why I said, lock the doors, close the windows. We're done with religion here. We're going on with life. Is that okay? We're going on with truth, okay? All right. Well, God's trying to bring us into this now where we no longer falter and tremble and hesitate in the face of cancer.
That's right.
Cancer is supposed to tremble when you walk in. People get, oh, the devil's after me. Well, he is. And what did Jesus say? You know, Satan comes immediately to steal the word, you know. He is. The thing of it is, if we ever find out who we are, you know, people, pray for me, get the devil off of me, Pat. Get the devil off of me, Pat, you know. Christians living in fear. The truth of the matter is, let me prophesy for a minute. As we continue on this road, whatever devils live in this area, they're going to tremble when you wake up. I said, oh no, the Christians are waking up again. How many blind eyes will be opened today? How much damage are they going to do to my kingdom today? Oh no, the Christians, they're awake. The whole church is waking up. Find out who we are, where we're from, why we're here, see? Now, this message tonight is so simple that he's going to have me. People call me Pastor Gary all the time, and that's okay, but I'm not. I'm really not a pastor. I am a teacher. I'm a teacher in the body. And this illustration we're going to go through tonight is really simple. Some people almost get offended. It's so simple. But here's the one thing. Let me warn you ahead of time. It is so simple. You're going to understand it. Well, you think that's good news, right? The bad news is there are things that you cannot unsee. Once you see this, you're going to be accountable. And it's going to change you forever. Jane was asking me, she said, I could tell a shift, Gary, in you. Something recently has happened. And your messages are different. They carry more authority. She's just one of several. She said, what was it? And I said, this illustration I'm about to teach tonight. You talk about, it's going to do something to your understanding of kingdom living and what it means to be a child of God on planet Earth. Okay? All right? Now, be going over to Isaiah 55. And really, if I was going to teach this in context, he's been really teaching about returning unto the Lord and he'll forgive you, and his ways are not our ways. And, you know, humans, we want to hold on to grudges. And I'll forgive you I'll forgive you once you apologize. And how many of you are glad Jesus didn't wait till we apologize, you know? You know, see? So really, that's what he's talking about here when he says, my ways are higher than your ways. But he's been using this verse as a launching pad into this realm of understanding where we are now. Yes, sir. Come here. I'm not teasing when I do that. That's incoming. Just a minute. I just work here. Okay. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Hold your place in Isaiah. Go to Ephesians. Reminded me of a verse that he showed me during the worship. Well, this has always been one of my favorite verses, but this verse is going to mean so much more to you after tonight. That's hard for me to read just this verse, so we're going to have to back up a little bit. The one I'm after is verse 20, in chapter 3, Ephesians 3. God, I love Ephesians so much. I just want to start at chapter 1, verse 1. But... Okay, well, no, can't. How about verse 14? For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole what?
Family.
The whole religion?
Family.
Told you. Told you, didn't it? Oh, wait a minute. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ, there's our seed, may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How many would like a big drink of that right there? Here's the verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask, now notice, or think. I've known that's been in my Bible forever. Above all that we ask or think, but it's according to that power that worketh in him. See, it's already in us. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now, he wanted me, through a tongue and interpretation there, he reminded me, keep that verse in your thinking, that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's going to be real important to you here in just a little bit. Okay? Now go back to Isaiah 55. And this is where we're going to start the illustration. Isaiah 55, let's look at verses 8 and 9. Now, over there he says, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Now, notice this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I'd love to go on and teach. It's one of my favorite passages about how the word works. But for tonight, let's just keep that. His ways, say it this way, his ways are higher than my ways.
His ways are higher than my ways.
Well, let's say it a different way. Before I was saved, his ways were higher than my ways.
His ways were higher than my ways.
Before I was saved,
his thoughts
were higher than my thoughts.
But
now that I've been born again,
now that I have a spirit which is of
God, I can know the things that are freely given to me of God. And I know the things which the Holy Spirit teaches,
comparing spiritual with spiritual.
The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God,
for they are spiritually discerned.
My Father is a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have the capacity
to be taught the things of
heaven,
to know my Father's thoughts,
and walk in my Father's ways.
That was a good message.
Did y'all like that? Oh.
I'm really giving you the end from the
beginning.
He started dealing with me about this passage, and you don't need to turn there. We all know this verse so well.
Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen? And, you know, really, knowing what's been taught here, we've taught about the foundation that's been laid by the elder Machen, and am I saying it right? Match, okay. And now the torch is picked up by the younger, and just knowing the foundation that's been laid here for years, I know that this church, your minds are way more renewed than the world. I know you don't think about righteousness the way the world does. I know you don't think about sin the way the world does. You don't think about abortion the way the world does. You don't think about partying and reveling, and we could just go on and on and on. We are renewed. You know, we're pretty renewed. Now, I'm going to exaggerate a little bit. I really wasn't quite this stupid, okay? I'm going to exaggerate for teaching purposes. So the Lord started dealing with me about having my mind renewed, because really what I'm after, I'll just tell you straight out, what I'm after is revival. I'm not after any. There's no hope for America but revival. You hear me? I mean, I thank God for good politicians and all of that, but the only hope for this country and the world is a genuine outpouring of the Holy Ghost, a real revival. Okay, that's all I'm interested in, okay? I'm not interested in church games. I'm not interested in politics. Come on. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost, okay? So the Lord started talking with me about renewing of the mind, and I'm going, Lord, I won't exaggerate. Pretty renewed, you know. Dave Roberson is my pastor. Yep, I'm one of them tongue-talking Christians, you know. Holy Ghost is my teacher.
pretty renewed. I know about righteousness, and I know about salvation, and I know about all kinds of, just ask me something. Pretty renewed. So then he starts, you know, the Holy Ghost will mess with you, you know. He says, well, now, let me just ask you this. He says, if that would have been you at the wedding feast of Cana, and your mother would have turned to you and said, they're out of wine, do something about it. What would your first thought have been? And I don't think we can really say this in church, but I'm going to do it anyway. My first thought, where's the nearest liquor store? You know, I mean, where do they sell wine around here? We got to get, my mother wants wine for this thing. My first thought would have been natural, you know. Now, as if that wasn't bad enough, he says, well, at the feeding of the 5,000. And you know it says 5,000 men, plus women and children. So let's just say probably 10 to 15,000. Can you picture 15,000? And they've already been traveling with Jesus and hearing the messages for 3 days. And they've been out there in the wilderness. And the disciples, they're being nice, you know. And they're going, you know, these people have been with us already 3 days. By now they're getting hungry. We should go into, King James, we should go into town and purchase victuals. We don't use victuals. We're going to go get some food. Gary, what was your first thought of being? You going into town, aren't you? Would you get me a ham on rye while you're down there? You know. In other words, my thinking, where I am, is still pretty much in the natural realm, see? He says, now, would you have done it like Jesus? Well, let's see now. What do we have available? We got a little boy's lunch here. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Time out for a minute. I actually heard this with my own ears. One of those PhDs on TV. Well, got to kind of get the bullfrog throat. Well, the reason that they could feed so many people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The loaves were a lot bigger in those days. Come on, 15,000 people. It's a little boy's lunch. Today we'd call it fish and chips probably. He's got a little fish and chips, you know. Now picture this. You know, we don't meditate long enough on these things. Let's get the image here. You're one of the 12. Okay, Jesus says, bring that lunch to me. Here we got a boy's lunch. Five loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus looks to heaven. He does bless it. And I'm sure he starts breaking it, putting it. You get 1/12. Let's take Peter. We all relate with Peter, right? You get 1/12 of a little boy's lunch in your basket. And they set them out by 50s. You remember? Seat them down by 50s. You got 1/12 of a little boy's lunch. And there's the first row of 50. Jesus says, you feed them. You sure we shouldn't go into town? I can't imagine what it was like. I wonder if Peter walks up to the first one. I wonder if he could keep his eyes open. I wonder if he closed his eyes here. Actually, I'm sure he broke it, handed it to him. Then he opened his eyes. Oh my goodness. It's still there. Broke it, gave it to the next one. Broke it and gave it to the next one. Rows of 50s. You started with 1/12. Of a little boy's lunch. And when you get through, you don't wind up with 1/12. Did you notice it said each disciple had a basket full? We were talking earlier, how many people could they have fed? They could still be feeding. The only reason the multiplication stopped is because they stopped.
That's right.
There is no end to what he may have you feed. There is no end.
Come on.
Now, he's starting to deal with me about his thoughts might still yet be just a little higher than my thoughts. I might not be quite so renewed as I'd like to think I am. Okay, he's going, let me teach you something. And so he managed to get an old book in my hand. Now, we really need to lock the doors now because I'm going to mention geometry. Okay, math. Somebody lock the doors quick. But he got, I am an engineer by training. I love science. I love engineering. I love math. In my mind, math is probably as close as you'll ever get to the pure language of God. Math never lies. It never lies. Math has no political agenda. Math has no religious agenda. And it's the same for every person. Isn't that right? I like math. Well, anyway, God got into my hand this old book. It was written back in the 20s by a mathematician, a professor, but he was also a believer. And the title on it was called The Fourth Dimension and the Bible. Well, I began reading this thing. Just the way I'm wired, I'm hoping I can transfer to you the change that has happened in me since I've seen this understanding that I'm going to share with you. And it's very simple, but I'm going to have to do a little geometry. Are we okay? Okay? All right. Now, the smallest thing that there is in geometry is a dot, just a simple dot. And if you'll allow me, really a dot with no volume, no width, no height, just bing, a dot. That's the smallest thing that there is. A line, whether it's curved or straight, is a series of dots. You got that? So a line is a series of dots with no spaces in between. You just got all these dots hooked together. Now, we're going to pretend for a little bit. When my grandson was about 6 years old, he asked me one day, he says, "Papa, can you see that lion in that tree right in his backyard? Can you see the lion in that tree?" I went, "No." He says, "Papa, can you pretend?" Well, I'm asking, can y'all pretend with me for a minute? Now I'm going to step in front of here. And if you need to stand up and come, we're going to do some illustrations. And if you can't, I think you'll be okay where you're seated, but don't feel uncomfortable if you want to get out in the aisle and come down here. Normally when I teach this at the prayer center, I take some duct tape ahead of time and I just put a line on the carpet. So if you will pretend with me that there is a line running right across here, just a straight line like duct tape glued down, okay? Pretend with me that there is a universe called Lineland. In that universe, there is no such thing as width. They have no concept of width. They have no concept of height or depth. In that universe, there is only line. There's only forward and backward. There is no left, there is no right, there is no up, there is no down. In that universe, we call it Line Land. Okay? But if you live in Line Land and that's all you know, I'm going to be a happy little Line Lander, and I just spend my life going backwards and upwards and forwards and backwards on this line, and I can turn around and come back. And actually, I'm a pretty educated Line Lander. I've been to Line Land University, and I know the physics that are possible in Line Land, and I just exist fine. And there's a whole bunch of us there, and that's our whole universe, and we just go forward and backward, and everything's great in Line Land, you know. And by the way, I also went to Line Land Seminary, and I know what's possible with God too, by the way. And everything's wonderful in Line Land. And I can go forward and backward as long as I stay on that line, because there just isn't anything else in my universe, until suddenly I come to an obstacle that's on the line. Now, if you'll allow me, I just set a water bottle down like it's blocking the line. And I've been up and down this line my whole life. But all of a sudden, I come up to this line and I go, "Well, this wasn't here yesterday. What is this?" Now remember, there is no left, there is no right, there is no vertical, there is no depth. All there is forward and backward. But he needs to get past this obstacle. And he goes, "It's impossible, it's impossible." And everybody behind him, all the other dots are going, "You're right, it's impossible. We'll not..." Oh, the things that are impossible with Linelanders. Now pretend with me there's another universe called Flatland. Flatland has length and width like a sheet of paper, but there's no height. I need a Flatlander. Would you be a Flatlander with me for a minute? I want you to come up one step, just one step. Just one step here and stand right there for me. It's going to be real simple. I'm not going to embarrass you. Can I move my line closer to him? Can y'all see me if I do that? Let's pretend the line is over here, okay? This fella here lives in Flatland. Now, I can't see him, but he can see me. And he's watching my dilemma. Oh, it's impossible. I can't get around this thing. We only have forward and backward in line land. It's impossible. You know, if there was some creature, some being out there somewhere that could help me, but it's impossible with flat, with line landers. I can't get past it. But he lives in our universe where he knows there is length and width. And he's kind of a benevolent guy. He finally has enough of my suffering. So he comes down from his realm. Now, I still can't see him, but he just comes and he gets a hold of me and he just takes me to the right. He just takes me to the right. Now, when he did that to everybody in line land behind me, I disappeared. Gary was there and then he was not. Does that remind you of a verse? Enoch was not, for God took him. Okay. He just brings me around and he just puts me back. And he puts me back on the line and steps away. And when I come back, I reappear. And they all go, "It's a miracle! It's a miracle! We've never seen anything. He was there. He was gone. He was on this side of the problem. Now he's on the other side. It's a miracle!" And he's over here going, "Oh, brother. This is normal everyday stuff in Flatland. You know." But to the Linelander, now, can you agree with me that his ways, the Flatlander's ways, is higher than the Linelander's ways? The Flatlander's thoughts, this guy can't even think width. The Linelander, he can't even think it. There is nothing in his universe that he can relate to even think width. But for the Flatlander, he can. Well, so the Flatlander, he thinks he's a little bit of a hot rod now. Stay there. So, yes, thank you. No, I'm not going to hula hoop. So the Flatlander, let's talk about him for a minute. And now see, in his universe, he doesn't have to just stay on a line. He has a whole plane, like a sheet of paper. So he can go to the right, he can go to the left, he can just walk all around. He's probably thinking, "Those stupid Linelanders, I'm sure glad I don't live in Lineland. I'm a much more highly evolved species than those Linelanders, you know." And he is fine. Now remember, he's a dot. Okay, he's a dot. He's fine until suddenly there's an obstacle that he comes up against. Now, his goal is to get to the center of this circle for benefit of those that can't see what I'm doing. I put a hula hoop down on the floor to represent an obstacle in Flatland. Now, he's a dot. These are all a series of dots. But when he comes up to it, it's like a wall, like a castle wall that reaches. You can't even see the height of it. It's impenetrable. But his goal is to get to the center. Whatever this represents, he needs to get to the center of this thing. Well, maybe there's an opening. He starts walking all the way around. If there's a window or a door, then he can go through. And he's looking. Oh, no. It's impenetrable. He comes up against it. Come up against it. He can't get in there. I'll do it for you. Oh, it's impossible. Oh, this is called wailing. Oh, God. I need to get to the center. And I can't. It's absolutely impossible. Pat, come here for me. Now, Pat, go up two steps. Not one, but go up two. So he's up here two steps. Now, this guy here, Pat represents now, he is an Earthlander. He lives where we live. Three dimensions. He knows there's not only length and width, like the Flatlander, but he also knows there is such a thing as height and depth. He understands three dimensions. That's why I've got him up one step higher. His ways are higher than this guy's ways. His thoughts are higher. So he watches the poor little Flatlander go around and around. It's impossible. I can't ever do it. I can't ever do it. And finally, this merciful... Now, the Flatlander can't see him. But suddenly, this Earthlander comes down, has compassion on the Flatlander, and does this. He just picks him up, lifts him over the thing, and sets him right down in the center of it. Now, when he picked him up, he disappeared. What's your first name?
Micah.
Micah was there, and then he was gone. And then he reappeared somewhere else. Does that remind you of a verse? After Philip led the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, to the Lord. And it says, and Philip was found at Azotus. Trinity Airlines is coming back to the church. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about being translated. A lot cheaper than Southwest or any of the other airlines. A lot faster. I don't know if you have peanuts or not, but anyway. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
Better get your mind renewed to this.
That's right.
All right? But you can see the earthlander, and then he disappears, you know. The earthlander's ways are higher than the flatlander's ways. The earthlander's thoughts are higher. This man could never even think that. In his universe where he lives, there is no such, there's not even a thought of height. You got that? We got to go one more. You're, thank you. Give him a hand. Thank you. Ah, but now Pat, he's one of these earthlanders that's got it all together. Come on down. You know, he's like Gary, pretty renewed, you know? Yep. I've been in the Word for 165 years. And by the way, I'm never wrong. I know Pat pretty well. And you got a problem? I already know the answer before you even knew you had a problem. Is that, how am I doing? Is that Pat Rowe? Okay. But see, we come up against problems all the time, don't we? Come up against things, and it seems there are things that are impossible with natural men.
That's right.
He said the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Now we're going to do one more illustration, see. Now, by the way, you youngsters, as you're growing in ministry, if any of you that are aspiring for ministry, whenever you visit in another man's church, always make the pastor God. Don't ever make the pastor, the devil. Always make them, if you want to be invited back, always make the pastor God. Now see, what we're dealing with really here is our God, our Father in heaven. He's the one that said in Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways. See, I'm not really preaching another dimension or anything like that. We're talking about, you know what you want to, what we're going to call this realm? The realm of the kingdom.
Yes.
This is the kingdom realm. This is where our Father lives. That realm produced this realm. The realm of the Spirit produced everything that is in the natural anyway. The physics of that world are not limited to the physics of this world. The physics of that world supersede the physics of this world. You can walk on the water. You can have Trinity Airlines and be translated. You can open blind eyes. All things are possible with God. Amen? But he watches us in our dilemma. We're going around in three dimensions, and we're thinking, we try everything in the world, and we can't even think God's thoughts because we have not allowed our minds to be really renewed to the truth of what God's Word said. It's been there the whole time.
That's right.
But religion and life experience,
that's right,
has beat us out of it. Hang on. Okay. I think you can be seated, okay? I just, no.
I'm still God.
Yeah, you're still God. Hang on. No, stay for just a minute. Stay for just a minute. When I was first teaching this a few weeks ago up in Ohio, people that know me, you know that I don't do very often a tongues or an interpretation during a service. He doesn't use me a lot that way. But this time one came. I'm going to read it to you. And when this happens to you, by the way, you don't get to judge it first. You hear it when they hear it. Okay? How many wants to be used in a word of knowledge, word of wisdom? Okay. Gifts of the Spirit. So here's what came forward. It says, mysteries hidden, mysteries from the foundation of the world, brought forward this day by my Spirit in this hour and this generation, to purge the mind of my children from the falseness of the doctrine they have been taught from pulpits with good intentions by men that loved me but were deceived by religion, deceived by education, and deceived by the ways of this world and not taught by my Spirit. Come up higher, my children. Come up higher. Let my Spirit teach you the things of the realm that you are really from.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
I'm not that smart. I'm telling you right now, I'm not smart enough to come up with something like that. Now, that's the heart cry. That's where we are right now. We're on the cusp of this revival. Now, here's the problem. Pat represents, for teaching purposes right now, Earthlander, okay, Christian or not. The trouble of it is, he's not an Earthlander. If you've been born again, you are not of this world. You've got to get it straight. Walk right up there by him. That spirit that's on the inside of you originated there. You are a citizen of heaven. You belong to the Father. You are a spirit-born child of the living God. You are not an earthlander. Trouble is, though, we have an earth mind. I like to call it earth head. Now come back down here. What he's trying to get, he left us here to do kingdom business. But what happens is we keep relating with the earthlander, thinking that's who we are. No, we are wearing an earth suit. Do you know what this is really? Pat your right arm. You know what that is? That's camouflage.
Yeah.
It is. It's camouflage. That poor unsuspecting sinner seeing you walking down the street toward him, he thinks you're an earthling like him. He doesn't know you're an invader from another world come to rescue his soul.
Yeah.
Get him born again. He doesn't know. You really are. We kid about it, but we don't have that mindset. See, Jesus' first thought wasn't, ooh, we'll just turn water into wine. You know what his first thought was? Father, what do you want to do? His first thought was, bring me a little boy's lunch. Father, what do you want to do? See? We've got to get that mindset, that kingdom-minded, that's already who we are, but we tend, and Jesus told us how the enemy works. How does he steal that knowledge? How does he steal the truth out of us? Persecutions, afflictions, cares of this world, so forth. I'm going to say it a little different way. The devil intends to steal your life and your ministry through being too doggone busy every day. That's it. It's not any more complicated than that. Trouble, problems. I know the name of that devil. That one that's stealing your life. I know his name. For a love offering of 1995, I'll tell you that. I've been doing that for 20 years. He says I need to raise that to 99.95, but anyway. You know what his name is? It's same-o. Every day. Same-o, same-o. Yeah, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to pray. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit be my tomorrow. I was going to do it today, but you don't understand. They're flat on the car. The cat's sick. And my family's mad. The washing machine quit. And whatever, whatever, whatever. But tomorrow, I'm going to renew my mind. And tomorrow, same old. Same old, same old. Then one day you've got one foot in the grave. And as you're stepping in there, you go, wasn't we going to have revival? Wasn't I going to have a ministry? Wasn't I going to do the same works? And what happened? Same old, stole your life. You're going to have to. That's why you're here. We're going to stop same old.
Yeah.
We're going to stop that. Because we are going to have revival.
Yeah.
Now, for today, yes, he's changing it on me a little. I've never quite done this way before. I want to go ahead and tell you some things mathematically. Mathematically, there is such a thing as a fourth dimension. Now, I'm not getting off into science fiction and that type of thing. Mathematically, we use fourth dimension math. I say we, engineers, use fourth dimension math all the time. You wouldn't have turbine jet engines without math in the fourth dimension. String theory, if any of you have ever heard of string theory, you have to have 11 dimensions in order to even for that to be true, and it is true. Well, where does God live? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's the highest one. Let me tell you just what's mathematically possible in a mathematical fourth dimension. You could take a hollow rubber ball, like a basketball. And if there was a solid little red ball in there, how do we get it out in our world? How do you get the red ball out? You got to cut it open, don't you? You got to somehow cut that thing open. Did you know, mathematically, just in the fourth dimension, much less the 11th, in the fourth dimension, you can remove the red rubber ball without ever cutting the other ball?
Wow.
Did you ever hear about somebody walking through they ate a fish, Jesus. Ate a fish, walked through the wall, and the fish didn't go sliding down the wall. How was he able to do that? See, that realm, he's already got a glorified body. His body is from that realm now. Ours is not. Our body is still from here. But our spirit is from there. Now, what keeps happening? The change, Romans 12, 2 again. Be you not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. Now, what causes transformation? Rebirth or renewal? I'm going to say it a different way. Does he say, and be you transformed by getting born again? No. We're already born again. What causes us to walk different from the world is the renewing of the mind. Wouldn't it be great if he had sent us a teacher that's from that realm that could teach us how to function here with the power that is from there? Wouldn't it be great if we had a teacher that's from that realm where we're really from? Boy, God, you really missed it. You should have sent us. Wait a minute. What does it say in my Bible? And I will send you the Spirit of truth. And he will guide you into all truth. Yes, sir. Okay. Y'all can be seated. I think that's it for tonight. Is that good stuff or what? Is that good stuff? It's so simple. God's, what's available to us, we haven't even thought it yet. We haven't even thought it yet. And when God does try, do you know he talks to me like I have money? He's always telling me stuff. And I'm going, God, have you seen my bank account? And he says, have you seen mine? But he's always talking to us, trying to, no wonder he had to send the Holy Ghost. I'm going to paraphrase 1 Corinthians 14 for a moment. If I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Let me paraphrase that. When God wants to talk to the real me, which is the spirit on the inside of me. See, the part of me that's born again, the part of me that's God's child, is not earth head. I need something to represent. Can I use this for earth head? When I hold this up here, I'm earth head. This is the natural-minded Gary. Natural mind, okay? This is the guy that wants to run my life. He wants to make all the decisions. I call him earth head. But earth head is not really God's child. Earth head is earth head. It's the natural mind. See, we're going to go to some verses here in a minute. The natural mind cannot receive the things of God. It cannot, okay? But that's what we want. God, deal with me with earth head. And God's going, I need to train my child. The child is the real spirit on the inside of me, the part of me that's born again. My father is a spirit, and I, the child of God, am a spirit. And God wants to teach me. He wants to train my spirit and teach me what's possible here. But earth head keeps getting in the way. So God says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a way for my teacher, the Holy Ghost, to train my son, the Spirit, and we're going to bypass Earthhead.
Yeah.
Earthhead don't like that one little bit. Earthhead gets bored. You ever tried? You ever made that decision? I'm going to pray 2 hours in other tongues today. Doesn't that sound good? Say it with gusto. I'm going to pray 2 hours. Surely 1 hour has gone by. 5 minutes? I should have brought Field and Stream. National Geographic something, you know. What's on this pad? Maybe I can find something on this pad, you know. Who'd I get this from? Here. Earthhead doesn't have any idea. God is a genius. He came up with a way to completely bypass Earthhead, who can't understand these things anyway, not directly, and communicate directly with his child. Spirit to spirit. Go to John 15 and put a marker in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said I had to stop by midnight, and I will. I'm teasing a little bit. I didn't even notice when I started. You guys are in trouble. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. It's actually John 16. I have the Bible in me in images. I know what image comes before another image. I don't really have it in me in chapter and verse. So I usually say, well, turn to Mark somewhere. And usually while you're doing it, I find it. Anyway. But I know what comes before and after everything. This is an incredible verse right here. Now he's talking to all the 12. You got in John 14, 15, 16, 17, we are hours away from the cross. We're right near the end here. Jesus is preparing his disciples that he's about to die, be resurrected. He's telling them he's leaving. There's so many things that we could teach here. Now, for teaching purposes tonight, he's talking to all of them. But can't we all relate with Peter? You know, I love Peter. He was always the one that was, you know, the rest of them were too holy to ask the questions. You know, he was talking about the hundredfold return and all, and Peter just says, hey, we left everything to follow you. What are we going to get out of it? I can relate to Peter. I like Peter, okay? So this little discourse here, now think about this. Peter has listened to every message for 3.5 years. He's heard every sermon that Jesus has preached. And here Jesus is teaching them, but come on down to verse 12, John 16, 12. Now picture Peter standing there and hearing these words. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And you're Peter. And Peter loved Jesus. Yeah. He loved him. He's going, time out, Lord. I'm standing right here. You have many things to say to me? Say on. What do you mean, Lord? I'm standing right here. But Jesus isn't kidding. He says, well, I have many things to say, but Peter, you can't bear them. Now, to understand what Jesus means by that, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That was years before I understood this. I want to pick it up in verse 12. It's good enough for what we need for tonight. Got to remember that Paul was the one that led these Corinthians to the Lord. When he first came, they were just pagan unbelievers, and he preached Christ and him crucified. He talks about that just to see what we're talking about. Back up to chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I, brethren, when I came to you, when he first came, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And see, to the unsaved person, to the world, that is the only message. Christ and him crucified. You must be born again. You are wasting your time trying to teach unbelievers the things of God. And he tells you that right here in this same passage. And I come on down to verse 12 with that understanding. He says, when I first came, I only had one message for you. And that's Christ and him crucified. Why? They had to get born again. But he says, but now, in other words, now that you're born again, now we have received not the spirit of the world. And notice that's a little s. They got it right. Not the spirit of the world. What's that? Well, that's the spirit that everybody's born with from their mother's womb. That's that natural, fallen, sinful spirit passed down generation to generation to generation from Adam through all of the generations down to every child that's born today. That's the spirit of the world. And everybody's born with that out of their mother's womb. But when you get born again, he says, now we've not received that one again. But the Spirit, notice it's a little s, they got it right again. He's not talking about the Holy Ghost here. He's talking about that regenerated human spirit born of God that's on the inside of you if you're a believer. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? Oh, here it is. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He said to Peter, Peter, I brought you as far as I can. I've told you everything I can to a man that still has the spirit of the world in him. From here on, I have a lot of things I'd like to tell you about the kingdom. I have a lot of things I'd like to tell you about the inheritance. but you can't bear them now. Let's continue. You see why he couldn't bear it. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And if you write in your Bible, I would write inheritance in the margin right there. That's your inheritance he's talking about as a child of God. Freely given to you. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now notice, this was Peter. This is John 15. The natural man, the one that's not born again, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now notice, neither can he know them. Peter, you're not able to bear them now. I know you love me, Peter. I know you love me. I know you've been following me for 3.5 years, but Peter, I brought you as far as I can. Oh, I have a lot of things to tell you about the kingdom. I have a lot of things to tell you about the inheritance. I have a lot of things I want to tell you, but you just can't know them, Peter. Where I got to take you from here on, these things, you receive them spiritually. My Father's going to send you a teacher.
Yeah.
I brought you as far as I can. But once you're born again, he's going to send you another comforter. And he's going to guide you into all the truth. No wonder the devil has fought tongues almost harder than salvation. See, as long as we just get born again and ignorant, can I say it that way? We're no threat. We're no threat to his kingdom. You can walk around. He doesn't care if you go to heaven or hell, really. The devil don't. You have no value to him at all. What he values is his kingdom. Until we become a threat to it. He doesn't care. But he's afraid of that teacher. He's afraid of that language that he created that bypasses earthhead. Lets that Holy Spirit come. Talk. Holy Spirit has to come and say, I want to get past earthhead here. Shut up. I need to talk to my son.
Yes.
I got to educate him. We got blind eyes that need opening. We got ways that are higher than what this earth head knows. We got thoughts that are higher. He can't even think these things, but his spirit man can. And I sent the Holy Ghost to speak to him spirit to spirit to communicate the things that are freely given to my son.
Glory.
At the new birth. That's where we are, people. The gifts of the Spirit are one of those things. The world thinks it's foolishness. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, working of miracles. The world thinks, but for us, it should be the most natural thing. Should be the most. We should be like the Flatlander was with the Linelander. The whole earth goes, oh, it's a miracle. But if we're really kingdom minded, this is it ain't nothing. This is normal. It's normal everyday Christianity.
Yes,
and that's the way it's going to be. And I don't mean just the fivefold. It's not just for the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. No, no. My Bible says believers shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. In my name, they will cast out devils. It's the gifts of the Spirit are for everybody. He divides severally to every man.
Yes.
Not the fivefold. It says to every man, to profit withal. This is my introduction. I hadn't started the message yet. Can y'all tell I love this? I am captured. Something has happened to me. The reality of this. The kingdom of God is at hand. If something is at hand, it's within your reach. It's not coming. It's at hand. When Jane serves, if you haven't had her potato salad, you've missed half your life. I'm telling you right now. I want that potato salad to be at hand. When it's at hand, I can enjoy it. I can have the benefit of it. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now let me tell you where we're headed now. This revival is not just for the Christian world, although it's going to have a major effect on the Christian world. People, God wants to harvest the Muslim world. He wants to harvest the Buddhist world. He wants to harvest the atheist world. I did prison ministry for a long time. I've dealt with a lot of Muslims in my life and that they know that there's no point sword fighting with them. You know your Bible. They know their Quran. You're just sword fighting. But I tell you what, if that Muslim guy has got a blind mama, and he has prayed and prayed and prayed to Allah and nothing's happened, and you come in the name of Jesus, and God opens his blind mama's eyes, I'm telling you, he's going to want to talk to you about your Jesus.
Yes.
Same thing with the Buddhist. Same thing with the atheist. Jesus didn't say, just go preach the gospel, and if they don't hear you, shake the dust off your feet. He said, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and then, if they don't listen to you.
Yeah.
We haven't even given them that chance. Bless God, the sons and daughters of the living God are arising in this hour.
Yes.
We are going to allow that Holy Spirit, no matter how much Earthhead doesn't like it, we're going to allow that Holy Spirit to teach us spirit to spirit. We are going to know who we are, where we're from, why we're here. And by the way, you've been anointed with the same Holy Ghost he was anointed with. Those that have turned the world upside down have come to Birmingham also. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Boy, I could teach for another 4 hours, but I'm not going to right now. Can you tell we're brethren? Can you tell? We got the same mind, the same heart. Listen, the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for people that... I thank God for Azusa Street, where it reintroduced our generation, our era. This teacher, this magnificent teacher, the Holy Spirit of God. We are coming into that place of inheritance where... the teacher that from that realm where we're really from. Our whole concept of who we are is going to change.
Yes.
We are not earthlanders trying to get God to help us. Wow. We are children of the living God. You know what Jesus said? Churches are afraid to teach what Jesus said in John 17. He said, the glory, Father, that thou gave me, I have given them. Trust me, you're about to get to run out of most churches that I know of if you just preach that. Just read it, they'll run you out. You know what that glory is? It's the glory of sonship.
Yes.
It's the standing that we have as sons of the Father. The glory that the Father gave him as a son. He has given us that same glory. You know what else he said? He said, the Father loves you with the same love that he loves Christ with.
Yes.
Then he says, Father, as thou hast sent me, I am sending them. We are on the same mission. We have the same life on the inside of us. We have the same Holy Spirit to manifest the will of the Father. I believe the renewing of our minds is happening at an accelerated pace.
Yes.
It's not, we're not trying to get something. We're trying to walk in something that we already have. Amen. And it makes all the difference in the world. We are not earthlanders trying to get God to help us. We are heavenlanders sent to earth to bring our Father's kingdom to manifestation here. Father, thy kingdom come. Father, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And we see it in Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And that's going to be said about each and every one of you. I believe it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The seed is reproducing. And the seed that's reproduced does exactly what the original did.
Amen.
The works that I do, you shall do also. Is there anybody here that's not baptized in the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about praying in other tongues. And I know probably here everybody is, but just in case, I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anybody here that you're not filled with the Holy Ghost? Can't Shandai your Hyundai? I tie my bow tie. Should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Hyundai. We're having fun, but listen, that language is key to where we're going. Spiritually discerned. Did you read that? We've got to know the things that the Holy Ghost teaches. Not religion. Man, not man. The things which the Holy Ghost teaches. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know normally at this point you share, had the people come and share. We've been talking for 2.5 days. I've been at this a long time. I've been sharing how the Lord is. If you're around me, am I about as plain as they come? Come on, I'm just as ordinary. I have an extraordinary Father. Okay? And for 2.5 days, and we have not exhausted the things that I've seen around the world with the gifts of the Spirit. Trust me, if He can flow through me, honey, He can flow through you. You are in for the most exciting ride. When you start really flowing with the mind of Christ, hearing from the Holy Ghost, and lose fear of man, let's say it a different way, lose fear of ridicule, willing to step out. He told you about... Anyway. That's when it's exciting and scary and wonderful, and things happen. And eventually, even the old atheist guy is going, they're God. He is God. Amen. Pastor, I got to turn it over to you. Whatever, however you normally close the service, I don't know. I think is that enough for tonight? Is that good stuff? You're going to remember that picture. You are not a flatlander. You are not even an earthlander. You are a heavenlander sent to earth on a mission from God. Hallelujah. I got to stop. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say this with me. Say, I'm not of this earth. I am of the kingdom. My citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. And so I think the way God thinks. I talk the way God talks. I act the way God acts, because He's my Father and I'm His child, and that's my nature. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, just spend time hugging on one another. Bless each other. Talk to Gary a little bit. Tell him how much you appreciate him. And we just bless you, brother. Thank you so much for what you've imparted to us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Glory to God.